Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? All right, like 12 people right here had a good Thanksgiving. The rest of you guys, what's up? Is this what a turkey hangover looks like? I hope you did have a good Thanksgiving. I hope Thanksgiving was more than turkey and gravy, though. I really do hope Thanksgiving was a time to unplug. I hope it was a time with family. I hope it was a time to focus in on God and our gratitude to Him for the blessings that He's given all of us. So I really hope that's what Thanksgiving meant and what Thanksgiving was for you. Now, some of you may be looking at your program, you may be looking at your outline and seeing the name Paul Westbrook. And in lay your thinking in your mind, unless Paul had a very successful trip to the hair club for men, this is not Paul Westbrook. So, no, you're not. If you're new here today, Paul Westbrook is our senior pastor. My name's Todd Corsick. I'm the executive pastor here at Metro. And Paul, being Paul, over the Thanksgiving break, got involved in a friendly football game. And I got a call yesterday morning from Melody, his wife. And Paul took a pretty good shot to his left eye during that football game. And an ER visit, a plastic surgeon, and many, many stitches later, Paul looks like Rocky from Apollo Creed. You know, from him, Apollo Creed bust him up. So his eye, he's okay, but his eye is all swollen shut. It's kind of, she said, Todd, there's a gross factor involved here. And so yesterday morning, she asked me if I would be willing to step in and cover for him this weekend. So again, Paul's okay. Be praying for him. He should be back in the saddle next week. But you know what? We're just going to buckle up, and we're going to see what God wants to do with this message this weekend. So with all that said, one of the things that I have recognized about myself is that when it comes to the concept of being an introvert or being an extrovert, with this being the center, I am probably a little to the right of center towards extrovert when it comes to that. So I enjoy doing things with people. I enjoy being with people, enjoy being around people. And so whether it's going on a trip or whether it's my hobbies that I'm doing or whether it's here at church working or whether it's at home and jobs and work that need to be done, I would rather do it with someone than do it by myself. You know, just as some examples of that, you know, one of the time, a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to go to New York for the very first time. I had never been to New York. New York's somewhat intimidating to me. I'm a small town guy. But I thought this would be cool to see. But the problem was none of my family really could go with me. My wife, my kids, they really couldn't go with me. But I thought, hey, this will still be cool, because where I was staying was a smack dab in the middle of New York, and I was just a few blocks away from the Empire State Building, a few blocks away from Times Square, a few blocks away from a lot of different of the attractions there. So I'd go to the conference all day, but then I'd want to walk at night, and I'd go for a walk, and I'd go see these sites. But it was one of those things like, oh, well, there's the Empire State Building, but I didn't have anybody to talk to about with it, so it wasn't just as fun, because doing stuff with people to me is more fun to have someone to converse with, someone to talk to about, someone to enjoy it with. So when I went to Times Square, I was just kind of overwhelmed by Times Square. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but Times Square was just one of those things like, man, just the lights and the video, and there's always something weird going on in Times Square with people. And so I said, I've got to experience this with someone else. So I went through the wonders of technology. I did a video call with my family and let them see what I was. So I was now the weirdo in Times Square, showing my family what I was seeing and talking to them. Why? Because I enjoy doing things with, it's nice to have someone there with you. You know, with my hobbies, I've told you guys before, I love to fish, and I love to fish with people. I love going fishing with my family. I love fishing with my son, and I enjoy fishing with my buddies, though, but all my buddies that I fish with have a tendency to be just a little bit better fishermen than I am, but I like that. I like it because what that does for me as a fisherman is that they can guide me. They can teach me. They can show me different tricks or techniques. All right, Todd, use this lure and use it this way, and so I learn from them, and then they give me guidance and teach me, and that besides just having a little more fun. You know, here at church, I enjoy working with the staff team. I would rather work with them instead of working alone. So even when I'm doing things like preparing messages and writing messages, I spend time alone. I spend time in prayer. I spend time focusing on the scripture and studying it and seeking God's guidance in it. But one of the things that will inevitably happen is I'd rather interact with people with it, though. So I'll find myself in Pastor Mike's office or Pastor Gary's office, and we're just sitting there talking. And what do you think about it? Just bouncing ideas off them and them shooting, oh, man, yeah, I never thought about it that way. And it's just the benefit of doing things with other people, having some of that guidance. Now, even at home, when it comes to doing things around the house, I would rather do it with someone. I mean, besides the fact that you're doing yard work or something, man, it's more fun to do it with someone, but you get the job done faster as well. But then on top of that, if I'm doing something that's outside my realm of expertise, if I'm doing plumbing or electrical work or working on the car or something, the areas where I don't have a lot of knowledge, when I have someone there that has a little bit more knowledge than I am, that has a little bit more ability than I am, what that does for me is it challenges me, it encourages me, and they'll push me a little bit further that I may go on my own. Why? Because I've got someone there with me. But I think for all of us, I think every single one of us would love to have some type of relationship like that. Someone we could just call and have them come over, someone there to help guide us and direct us, just encourage us, just to be there with us, to be a comforter with us. Someone that it's just so that things are just a little more fun, things it's just not such a drudgery to do things by ourselves, to have that influence of someone else in our lives. But you know what's interesting? Is when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Jesus, see what Jesus offers us, what he offers each and every one of us is the possibility of having just that, of having a continual helper, someone to walk with us through life so that we're not alone and not doing things alone, someone to encourage us, to give us strength, someone to give us guidance, someone to give us wisdom. He offers us that. Now, before I really get into that, and really before I start breaking that down today, I just want to be upfront that to some of you, this what thing I'm getting ready to talk about here maybe sound kind of strange to you. And maybe those things like, whoop, Todd, you're getting out there. This is a little weird. This is not. But the thing is, what I'm getting ready to talk about is something that Jesus himself talked about. But the reason you may think that's a little weird is because what I'm going to talk about today is something that is totally, totally supernatural. Totally supernatural. And we live in a day and an age, we live in a culture where there is a bias against the supernatural. And I know, look, you may be new, you may just be coming back, you may just be kind of investigating this God and Christianity thing, and you may go, into, I don't know that I can believe that. I don't know that I want to believe that. And guess that's really kind of okay, but what I want to teach on today, what I want to talk about today is something that Jesus himself taught about. I think it's so important for every single one of us, regardless of where you're at spiritually, but every single one of us to realize and understand there is always a supernatural element to following Jesus. The supernatural is always involved. Because the thing is, I think sometimes for so many of us, what so many of us can do is we can tame down the Christian life. We can tame down the Christian life and tame it down so much that we almost lose sight of the fact that all of Christianity, every single aspect of Christianity is about the supernatural. And while there's a lot of things in Scripture, there's a lot of things that we can clearly understand. There's black and white. This is right, this is wrong. We can clearly understand that. There are still a lot of things in Scripture that are a little mysterious. That there's some mystery surrounding, some things that we don't fully understand. Why? Because they're supernatural. I mean, but Christianity itself is all about the supernatural. It's about a supernatural God that supernaturally created the heavens and the earth, the stars, the galaxies. He supernaturally created them. He supernaturally created every living thing, from the most microscopic, smallest little element that you can't even see with the naked eye to the most huge of all creatures, either on the land or the sea, and everything in between. He created all the animals that we see and recognize. He created all those weird ones that we see. He supernaturally created them, even though we feel like, man, they should be from outer space. But man, they're weird, but God supernaturally created them. God supernaturally created the peak, the pinnacle of his creation, which is us, human beings. It's me and you, and he supernaturally created a way, sending his son from heaven to earth, supernaturally allowing him to die and come back to life so that we can have a relationship with him, since Christianity is all about the supernatural. And then on top of that, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, God offers us supernaturally a presence, a supernatural presence. But not just any supernatural presence, his supernatural presence. His supernatural presence to walk with us and guide us and lead us through life. And again, for some of you, that may be a hard thing to understand, that may be a hard thing to believe, but it's what Jesus talked about. Just the truth that there's a supernatural presence available to us. Now, in this series, Unplugged, that we have been in for a few weeks, what we've been doing is we've been going back to a very specific time in Jesus' life. It's the evening before Jesus was betrayed, before he was arrested, convicted, and ultimately crucified. It was that evening before, because what Jesus did during that time is he unplugged. He strategically unplugged from everything around him, from the crowds, and he spent time with the 12, with these 12 guys that he'd spent the past 3 years mentoring. And while every account of Jesus' life, the four Gospels we have Matthew, we have Mark, we have Luke, we have John, all four of them address this particular evening. John, the Gospel of John, John gives us the most detail. In John, we have 5 chapters dedicated to this one evening. 5 chapters really with this, Jesus just focusing in, just zeroing in on some critical life issues and some truths that he wants to make sure his followers, that he makes sure, wants to make sure that we understand, and that we can internalize. And so we're going to jump back into John. It's where we've been through this entire series, and we're going to kind of pick up where I left off last week. Last week, we finished up with John chapter 14, verse 6. We're going to jump in here with John chapter 14, verse 15. Now, there's a few verses in between there. Read it sometime. The Bible is good. You'll enjoy it. Read those. But we're going to jump in on chapter 15. So look at this on your outline or in your Bible. Here's what Jesus said. He was saying this to his disciples here this evening that he had unplugged. He says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Now, this is kind of a reoccurring theme that throughout this unplugged time with his followers that are saying this. Now, I want to be very, very clear here about something, though. We don't earn a relationship with God through performing for him. That's just not right. That's not even what Jesus taught. And that's not really not what he's even saying here. But we can show God that we love him by obeying him. And the most important command that we were ever given was to love God and to love Jesus with everything we've got. With everything we've got. And the evidence for our love for them or for God is not just saying, "I love you." It's not just uttering those words. The evidence that we love him is that we obey. We obey the commands that he gave us. So that's what he's saying. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. But then he goes on here, in the next verse, in the verses that we're getting ready to look at here, to really start talking about this supernatural presence that is available to each and every one of us. So check this out, verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Underline that statement, another counselor. Now, sometimes that term counselor can be translated as helper. It can be translated as advocate or comforter. Here it's translated as counselor. It's all the same thing. And the reason I had you do another is because he's basically saying, God's going to give you another one besides me, besides Jesus. Okay, so that's what he's saying here. "So I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever." And again, Jesus said, I'm going to die. I've got to go some other place. But I'm going to give you a counselor here that's going to be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. Be with you forever. Verse 17. "The Spirit of truth," which, again, he's just talking about the counselor, "the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you." So whoever or whatever this counselor is that Jesus is talking about, he's saying you'll live with him and you'll be with them. But he's saying, you know, he'll live with us and he'll be with us as well. Verse 18. He says, "I will not leave you as orphans." And again, I just pause for a minute and think about this. There's these guys, again, and they've kind of had their balloons popped. We talked about that last week, some disappointments going on here, and they had to have some fear. What he's saying to them is like, I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to be alone here. You're not going to be an orphan. I'm not going to leave you alone. And the thing is, that's such an important verse for, I think, for so many of us here today to hear. Because there's some of you that are feeling that way right now. You feel very alone. You feel like nobody really cares about your life, what's going on in your life. You feel very powerless. Jesus is saying to you right now, I won't leave you alone. I want to give you a helper, a counselor, a comforter. I want that to be available to you. And he finishes up this passage by saying, I will come to you. Well, then if you skip down a few verses, again, read it sometime. It's good stuff. But skip down to verse 26. He gives us a little more clarity on who this counselor is. Jesus said in John 14, 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And so this counselor, the Spirit of truth, is the Holy Spirit of God. And holy very simply means to be set apart. So he's saying this is the set apart Spirit of God, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And so this supernatural presence, this Holy Spirit of God teaches us. It makes us aware of what is true and what is right, and he'll always be with us. He'll always be in us. In fact, later on in Scripture, we're actually told that once we receive Christ into our life, once we place our faith, our trust in Jesus, and we take the time to make that deliberate, personal decision to open our hearts up, to our lives up to Jesus, he places his Spirit. He places the Holy Spirit of God, the Counselor, the Comforter, he places that in our lives. In fact, a little bit further on in Scripture, he actually talks about this, the truth that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. That our bodies are a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. I mean, and that's one of those things, don't blow past that. That is a huge statement. That's a huge truth. I mean, just think about that. If you have truly and genuinely accepted Jesus Christ, placed your faith, your trust in Jesus, and accepted his gift of forgiveness, his Spirit, the very Spirit of God lives with you, lives in you, and your body, my body, whether you realize it or not, is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit of God. If some of you are here today, and you may have been a Christ follower, you may be a Christ follower, and you may have been one for years and years, but you've never realized that. You've never realized that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, your body is a temple of that, and you're never alone. Because you have the comforter, the helper in you. But then in the next chapter, we've been in 14, now in chapter 15, Jesus comes back to this issue. This issue of the counselor of the Holy Spirit. Look at this in John 15, verses 26 through 27. He says, when the counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. And so the Holy Spirit, the counselor, always testifies or points people toward Jesus. Now, why is that important? Well, that's so important because it goes back to what we talked about last week. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus just isn't a truth. He is the truth. He is the ultimate truth. And so what Jesus is saying here is that the Holy Spirit of God is going to point people towards the ultimate truth in life. He's going to point people towards that. Verse 27, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So Jesus is saying, hey, as followers of his, as followers of Jesus Christ, it's also our responsibility to point people toward him. We need to testify about Jesus. And the thing is, one of the things I've realized over the years is there's one of the things that can really make people quake in their boots a little bit at times is to say this to them. We need to tell other people about Jesus. And the reason I think this makes people so nervous at times is because we're misunderstanding what Jesus even asked us to do. For whatever reason, our minds, when we hear that, we think all of a sudden we've got to become the expert. We've got to have all the theology. We have to have all the information. We have to have some big fancy degree with a bunch of letters behind your name. We have to be the expert in it. If we're not the expert in it, we can't tell other people about Jesus. But the thing is, that's not what Jesus even asked us to do. He asked us to testify. And one of the ways that this made so much sense to me, and I use this, if you've been through M1 class with me, you've heard this illustration, but I'm going to say it again because this is just a powerful illustration to me. You know, it'd kind of be like today. If you left this place today, and as you're pulling out of the parking lot, you witness, and I hope this doesn't happen, but you witness an accident. You see two cars get in a car crash, and then a few months later, you find yourself in a court of law to do what? To testify. What is the expectation of the people about what you're going to testify about? They want you to testify about what you saw, what you experienced. They're not asking you to come in and testify about what's the coefficient of friction between on wet pavement with a certain brand of tire and the stopping distance at this speed. They're not asking you to be an expert in all that. They're saying, testify about what you saw. And that's what Jesus is saying to each and every one of us. If you are a Christ follower, there are things you know. You know what your life was like before Jesus. You know how you came to know Jesus. And you know what your life has been like since you've met Jesus. And that is something that every single person who's a Christ follower can talk about. You can testify about. And guys, what if as the Holy Spirit of God, the supernatural presence in us worked in our life, we shared our testimony with someone else, and because of that, they came to know Jesus. And they had their lives and their eternities forever altered because we were willing to do what Jesus asked us to do. All right, I'll get rid of my soapbox now. We'll get back to the scripture here. But looking then, continuing on, in chapter 16, Jesus comes back to this issue of the counselor of the Holy Spirit again, and look what he says, John 16, verse 7. He says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. And that has to be goes, what are you talking about, Jesus? That's one of those statements, I think, to these disciples. I think those disciples had to be looking at him going, what you mean it's good that you're going away? I mean, these guys are, again, guys that had left everything. Family, jobs, careers, whatever. They'd left it all to follow Jesus. And now Jesus is there and say, hey, it's going to be good for me to go away from you. What? Okay, but hang on here. Because Jesus had been telling them that he was going to leave them and go to his heavenly Father. They didn't fully grasp what that meant, but they knew he was going to be leaving them and that they wouldn't be able to go with them. So they didn't grasp that. But then he explains why it's good. And he says this, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. This counselor who'll be with them forever and ever and ever, this helper, this advocate, he'll be with them forever and ever. He says, unless I go away, he'll not come for you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So he's explaining here why it's a good thing. He's reassuring them that his leaving is going to be a good thing because then they will receive the Holy Spirit of God. And then what Jesus does in the rest of here in chapter 16 is he goes on to tell the disciples, and also goes on to tell us three very specific things that the Holy Spirit will do. Three important things that we need to understand, we need to grasp, we need to process through about the supernatural presence of God that is the Holy Spirit. So there on your outline, you have some blanks. Blanks drive me nuts, and it's been too long. So let's fill in a blank. Number one, there on your outline, and what Jesus is talking about, and we'll break this down here, is that the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our guilt. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of our guilt. Now, as you're writing that in, you may have said, Todd, it's not computing. Hold on. You said comforter. You said advocate. You said helper. I don't want a counselor, a helper, advocate. It's going to make me feel guilty. All right? Bear with me. Let me explain this. You see, before we can be saved, and that's a Christian term, just saved, but it's really the idea, before we can be rescued from our sin, before we can be rescued from our wrongdoing, we have to understand that there's a problem. We have to understand that we are guilty before a holy and perfect God. Because of sin in our life, we are guilty. And we can't enter into the presence of God because God cannot be contaminated with any sin or with any wrongdoing. Now, this can be somewhat of a hard concept for some people to understand because we live in a culture, we live in a society that jokes about sin, that trivializes sin, that downplays the negative effect of sin. It's, you know, hey, it's no big deal. You know, everybody's doing it. I mean, you watch the movies, you watch the shows, sin, it's no big deal. But guys, before we can be made right with God, we have to understand there's a problem. We have to understand that we are guilty, that we need a Savior. We have to understand our need for a Savior before we seek out a Savior. We've got to understand that we need a rescuer to rescue us from the consequences of our guilt. Okay, so look at what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 16:8, he says, when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt. And basically what that statement means, he's going to make the world aware of their guilt. He's going to make us aware of our guilt. He's going to do it in three different ways here. He says, in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And then in the next three verses, he breaks that down a little bit. Look at John 16:9. He says, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. See, the greatest sin is ultimately not believing in or putting our faith in Jesus. Why? Because if we don't believe and put our faith in Jesus, we'll be forever separated from God. We'll never have our sins forgiven. And the thing about this statement of believe, when it's talking about believing in here, it's talking more than about than just an intellectual belief. It's more than just an intellectual assent to the fact that Jesus was a real person. Because the fact is, the Bible says that the devil and all his followers, the devil and all the demons, they believe. They have an intellectual belief of Jesus. But it also says they believe and they tremble. They tremble. And the reason they tremble is because they know that Jesus is God. They know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, but they have chosen to rebel. They've chosen to rebel against him. And so an intellectual belief isn't enough. When it talks about believing in Jesus, it's talking about following him, trusting him for our forgiveness and our salvation. It's talking about giving him our allegiance and making him the priority of our life. So he says he's going to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. But then the next one, look at this, John 16:10. He says, in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. You see, Jesus Christ is the only person who is truly, completely, and perfectly righteous. Meaning that all he did, everything he did, was always right. There was no sin, there was no guilt. And because of that perfection, Jesus was the only one able to enter into the presence of his holy heavenly Father. And so what the Holy Spirit does is makes us aware of Jesus' perfect, loving life. And as we're more and more aware of Jesus' perfection and his loving life, what that does is it highlights, it accentuates, it puts a spotlight on our own sin, on our own wrongdoing, and realize, we start to realize we need God. But we also start to realize that, hey, I've blown it. I need him, but I don't deserve God. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit helps to convict us of our guilt in that area. But then third, the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our guilt in regard to judgment. Look at this, John 16:11. He says, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world, and what that basically means is Satan, the evil one. Because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Satan's rebellion, his defiance of God, his lack of allegiance to Jesus has condemned him. He has been judged and he's been condemned. And the realization that the evil one has been judged and found guilty should make us aware that we too are guilty before a holy and perfect God, and what that should do. And why this is so important that the Holy Spirit is in this world to do to make us aware of this guilt is it should compel us. It should compel us to want to make things right with God. It should compel us to want to be made right with God and be in a relationship with him. But not only does the Holy Spirit make us aware of our guilt, but number two, the second blank there is the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Continuing on here, John 16:12-13. Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, but more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of God, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit of God guides us into all truth. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us insight. He'll give us what we need to make wise, God-honoring decisions that we submit our lives and yield our lives to his will. And you know, for most all of us here today, our lives could be so much better. We could be so much better off that if those key junctures of life, those key defining moments of life, if we'd been just a little bit more open to following truth, to doing things that ultimately we knew were right. I mean, so many of us can look back on our lives and say, you know what? I knew I shouldn't have done that, but I did it anyway. Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have messed and gotten into that relationship, but I did it anyway. I knew I shouldn't have listened to him or her. I knew I shouldn't have followed the crowd on that issue. I knew I shouldn't have got involved in this or that. We have those moments in our lives, don't we? In fact, for some of us here today, we're experiencing that right now. Right now. We know the path that we're on in life just isn't healthy. We know it's not getting us ultimately where we want to go. We know this relationship that we're toying around with is not good. It's wrong. We know that this pace of life that we're staying on is unhealthy, and we know, and we know, and we know, and we know. We keep going and doing it anyway. We keep making excuses. I mean, it's time, guys. It's time to stop the craziness. It's time to stop the excuses. Time to start listening to the counselor, to the helper, to the comforter, to the advocate, to the Holy Spirit, and start making some changes in our lives. But see, but the thing is, not only does the Holy Spirit give us the guidance and the direction, not only does it lead us into all truth, but he also gives us the strength. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the strength and the power to make those changes, to make the changes that ultimately we know we need to make in life. And so the Holy Spirit is there to make us aware of our guilt. He guides us into all truth. But then number three, the third thing, is the Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus. Look what it goes on to say. Just the next couple verses, there's he, the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me, and Jesus is talking about himself, bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Holy Spirit brings attention and glory and fame and honor to Jesus. And he makes us more deeply aware of who Jesus is, that Jesus is fully God, that all of creation, the whole universe and everything in it is his, that all wisdom and all knowledge and all truth and all power and all insight and all life are found in him. They're found in Jesus. And guys, as we can grasp that, as we can internalize that, the result should be that we should make Jesus the preeminent priority of our life. The number one priority above all things, preeminent priority of our life. And as we do that, what that does is that brings more glory and more fame and more honor to Jesus. So guys, here's the deal with all this. We've got a choice to make in life. And we can choose. We can choose to live our life in our own strength. We can choose to live our life without Jesus, without his Spirit living in us. We can choose not to accept Jesus Christ in our life. We can make that choice. The truth is, even once we receive Christ in our life, we can choose to live oblivious to his Spirit that actually is already in us. We can do that. That's a choice we can make. Or we can make a different choice. We can choose to tap into. We can choose to enjoy and maximize and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to cooperate with the counselor, to cooperate with the helper that is in us, the Holy Spirit that wants to empower us and guide us and encourage us and strengthen us and comfort us. We can make the choice. So here's kind of the bottom line. You can write this in on your outline. That tapping into the Holy Spirit positions us to experience God's presence, guidance, and strength. Tapping into the Holy Spirit positions us to experience God's presence, guidance, and strength. Let me explain that. See, now trying to live without tapping into the Holy Spirit, it kind of be like trying to use an electric mixer. You know, an electric mixer like you use to beat the mashed potatoes up with Thanksgiving that just happened, you do that. It kind of be trying to use an electric mixer without plugging it in. Could we do it? Sure. We can sit there and we can beat it up and we can use our own strength and our own muscles to try to do and beat it. But why do that when we just plug into the power source and it's so much easier? It would kind of be like having a car, but ignoring the engine of the car. It'd kind of be like buying the brightest, fanciest, new, beautiful Lexus and saying, telling all our friends, oh, look at the beautiful paint job. Look at how the incredible interior. Feel how comfortable it is. But we ignore the fact it has an engine. What good does that car do us if we ignore the engine? And we'll never get to experience what the car was really designed to do, what the car was designed to be, until we engage the engine. Until we put the key in the ignition, turn it on, put it in drive, and drive away. Until we do that, we're never going to experience what the car was really intended to be. And in a very similar way, we need to tap into the power, the strength, the guidance, the companionship, the help of the Holy Spirit. We've got to plug into it. We've got to tap into it. And the thing is, you guys, it's interesting that there's a lot of us here today that feel very, very powerless. There's a lot of us here today that feel very, very alone. But guys, once we open up our lives to Jesus, once we open up our lives to the Counselor, the Holy Spirit will dwell in our lives, will be in our lives to be there to guide us, and we will never, ever, 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 ever be alone. We have access to that. Access to strength and power and insight and guidance, the guidance of God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Now look, I'm going to wrap up and pray here in just a minute. But I want to encourage all of us to do something. And what I want to encourage us to do is I want to encourage us all to unplug. But what I want to encourage us to unplug from is I want us to encourage us to unplug from trying to control and do everything on our own strength. Guys, that's probably one of the things I can be most guilty of in my life. Trying to do things in my own power and my own strength. And I just want to challenge all of us, myself included, to just unplug from depending on ourselves for everything. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, I just want to encourage you, start living with the realization. Live with the awareness, live with the truth that the Holy Spirit is living in you right now. And that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And again, think about that. Think about that truth and just let that sink into your life, that is so true. And maybe what you need to do this week, maybe what all of us need to do this week, is each day this week when we get out of bed, is we need to start our day just reminding ourselves, I have the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit living in me. I have the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit walking with me this day. I am not alone. He will help lead me into truth. He'll give me guidance and insight into what is right and best and wise. And he'll give me encouragement. He'll give me the strength that I need. What if we did that every day this week? You know, one of the things that we did, when you came in today, you were given a rubber band like this. Hopefully you guys got one. And what I want to challenge you, encourage you to do is, I don't want you to find it. Hopefully you didn't shoot it at somebody or like do something like that or flick your neighbor with it or whatever. But I want you to pull this out. Pull out your rubber band. And what I want you to do is take your pen, and I want you to write on your rubber band, write the initials HS. HS, and that doesn't stand for high school, all right? It stands for the Holy Spirit. Write HS on there, and then I want to challenge you to wear this all week. I want to challenge you to wear this, and then throughout the week, when you're struggling, when you're looking for the strength, when you're looking for the comfort, when you're looking for the help, when you're looking for the insight, let this be this very simple, this very basic reminder that if you are a Christ follower, if you've submitted your life and aligned your life with Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in your body, which is a temple. And let this be the reminder. Maybe it's just a matter of giving it a flick every now and then, just a reminder this week of what you already have as a Christ follower. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in your life. And that tapping into the Holy Spirit positions us to experience His strength, guidance, and His presence. But maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. I just want to challenge you to do it. What you have available to you is forgiveness of sin, to be in a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father that desires to be in a relationship with you, and what Jesus is offering every single one of us is the presence of the supernatural Holy Spirit of God in your life. And you may be here today and you're going, Todd, you don't know how much I've messed up. You may be here today and you're feeling so empty. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling the turmoil in your soul. Maybe you're feeling a little bit of that guilt. Could it be? Could it be that that's the Holy Spirit of God tugging at your life right now? Saying, let me in. Go to God. Ask Him to forgive your sins. He will do it. Accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and let me come into your life. Just open up your heart to Jesus. You need to do that today. But what I want to do right now, before I pray, before I completely finish up the message, is I just want to give us all a minute. We've done this every single service, every single time in this Unplugged series. Just say, you know what? A lot of this information, we need a little time to process. And so I'm just going to give us a minute or so of just quiet. Again, I know for some that's very uncomfortable. I'm sorry, get over it. Just deal with it. It's only a minute of your life. But what I want you to do is zero in on this. As a Christ follower, are you tapping into what you have, the guidance and the presence, the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit? Do you need to focus in on this more and lean into the Holy Spirit more? Where are you at with that? Process on that. But if you need to accept Jesus Christ in your life, process on that. If God's doing something here right now, pray to Him about that. And just see what He wants to do in your life. So just a minute or so, but this time is for you. Lord God, I thank you that you are a supernatural God. I thank you for the gift of Jesus. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we enter into a relationship with him, God, you've offered us forgiveness of sin and the opportunity to be in heaven with you forever. But God, I also just thank you so much that what you've offered every single one of us through a relationship with Jesus is the presence of your supernatural Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, to comfort us. God, help us not to lose sight of that. Help us to live with this awareness every single day that we are not alone and that your Holy Spirit wants to work and move in our lives. God, help our hearts just to cry this out, to saying, Holy Spirit, have your way with me. Do your will in my life. Lead me, guide me. But God, help us to live with a greater and greater and greater and greater awareness of this unbelievable presence you've offered us through the Holy Spirit. And God, for those here today that are feeling you tug at their heart, that are feeling that in their soul that they need to open up their life to you, God, help them to do that. Help them to realize that that is the Holy Spirit tugging at their heart right now. Then you just need to open their lives up and say, God, I'm sorry for my sin, a sin that every single person have, that I have, that every person has. But God, help them to come to you and ask for forgiveness. Saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my disobedience. I ask you to forgive me. Help them to recognize their need for Jesus, their need for a Savior. Help them to say, Jesus, come into my life. Lead me. I submit my life to you. My allegiance is with you. And God, your promise to us is that as we do that and we mean it, the Holy Spirit will come into our lives and begin leading us. And God, I thank you for that. But God, I pray in this time that your Spirit would move, that your Spirit truly would have its way with us, wherever we're at. God, thank you for your love, your wisdom, your guidance, and thank you for the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. I praise things in the name of Jesus. Amen.